Welcome back to another edition of the Student Body Right, the complete college football podcast. I'm your host, as always, Nick Valinchek, better known as Nick from CWE on all the daily fantasy sites out there. I'm very excited. By the time you are listening to this, we will be one day away from a two-game college football Saturday night. Really, it's a nice way, in my opinion, it's a nice way to start the season. I mean, you definitely have a variety is not the right word, but you definitely have some interesting games, a contrast in style between a game that should be, you know, a tough-nosed potential defensive battle, really, with both Miami and Florida expected to be some of the top defensive teams in the country this year. And then the opposite of that, where I think collectively we likely expect neither Hawaii or Arizona to be very good in that respect. So it's definitely going to be interesting. We are, you know, what my goal is on Fridays is more or less, this Friday is going to be different, right? Next Friday is going to be much more in-depth on actual game action, because we don't have the luxury of just saying, hey, two games, that's all we got to worry about. We're just talking about two games here, and then we're going to move on. We are definitely at that point looking at far more of a huge schedule. Thursday, Friday, Saturday football. DraftKings released the Thursday slate today. I'm going to take some time and break that down a little bit later, pending the depth charts from those teams being available. So, yeah, it's right here. And this is, you know, I affectionately refer to this point in the season as silly season. For anybody who is a fan of NASCAR, you know, silly season is the time of year when teams are getting rid of drivers, and drivers are going to be making their way to new teams, and just essentially a whole bunch of chaos going on. And that's what happens right now. Right now we're going to deal with the next week being consistent information about who is the starting quarterback for this team and what positional battles ended up going away that we didn't think we were going to go. And really, I can't look at anything more that we got wrong. And when I say we, I mean, I'm saying, like, collectively, just about everybody with a pulse who covers college football, because going into this offseason, there was no question about it. Gage Gebrud was definitely going to be the starting quarterback for Washington State, and there was no doubts in anyone's mind that this is all a game, and Mike Leach is just doing what coaches do and make the battle seem like it's closer than it actually is, and Gebrud was going to just be there day one starting. And if that's his goal, at this point he is pulling a long con, because now we're seeing, after Mike Leach blatantly coming out and saying on last Friday, I believe, after a scrimmage, that Anthony Gordon would be the guy if we had to decide today, now we're hearing that pretty much Gordon is taking and will be taking the first team reps. And Gage Gebrud is now not even taking second team reps, and Trey Tinsley is in that position. Now, there's a lot of things that can go into that, so I don't want to immediately get overly concerned and say that Gebrud is completely out of things, but it definitely looks like at the beginning of the season we'll be looking at Anthony Gordon. And I mean, as long as I can remember, it's been plug and play at the quarterback position at Washington State. I think at the beginning of every year, there's not a consensus, but there's always like some question marks where people are like, this is finally going to be the year that a quarterback doesn't come in and produce for this team. And every year without fail, somebody comes in and does work. So I'm not concerned. In my opinion, Anthony Gordon will be a day one play and call in DFS. He's a guy you can certainly look at in your fantasy rosters, and this should give Washington State the potential to, you know, keep their strong quarterback tradition alive. You know, Anthony or Holton Ahlers being named East Carolina's quarterback is kind of just like a goofy thing to me. This is, you know, this is what was expected. I think the pluses here are that, you know, head coach at East Carolina, Mike Houston, let the quarterback run the ball a lot. So if that's the case, again, Ahlers is going to provide huge fantasy value, and it should make East Carolina far more exciting. That's kind of the biggest thing here. Yeah, so Bo Nix, another number one quarterback announced. Again, I don't think that was – I think that we expected it to be he and Gateway. I think it's Jacob Gateway. Kind of competing and maybe not necessarily competing, but there being more potential for, and it's Joey Gatewood, more potential for, you know, some switching with the quarterback position, which, you know, always works out oh so well. But it does sound like for the time being, Bo Nix is likely to, he's likely to be the guy against Oregon. As a freshman, you kind of feel like maybe there's like a little bit of a concern for a short leash. That's tentatively going to be a concern of mine, but I think that he is someone that I'll be fine playing. Brandon Peters is getting the start for Illinois. AJ Bush at times last year was a fun fantasy target. Typically reasonably cheap, a guy that we were able to use at a, you know, at a lower cost, but this is a completely different kind of quarterback, so it takes a little of the shine away from Illinois for me. Tario Fuller, Purdue running back, out indefinitely. That's going to be a tough situation for Purdue. I think, you know, with Rondale Moore there, they've got – and the receivers outside of Rondale Moore, I think, get a little bit of a bad rap, or rather they just get no rap whatsoever. So I think that'll potentially open up some value, but for the most part, I'm not thoroughly interested – in some of these players. In the right situation, I would be, but in most matchups, I'm probably going to look for the wide receivers from Purdue. Something that I would say is a little bit of an interesting situation is, you know, we had kind of a three-way battle between Jarrett Doge, Jack Allison, Austin Kendall in West Virginia to see who was going to be the heir apparent to Will Grier. And Austin Kendall transferred from Oklahoma upon Jalen Hurts transferring to Oklahoma. I think tentatively the estimation was that Jack Allison was going to be given the first look. That's not the case, and now we are sitting here firmly wondering if we are going to see a transfer situation from Jack Allison. I think Jarrett Doge, who was a Bowling Green transfer, he was in, like, the final year of the fun times at Bowling Green. He was a guy that I think was filling in for one of their, you know, high-end quarterback talents who constantly produced from a fantasy perspective. He can redshirt the year. That's what they're going to do. Speaking of teams where Man, there's probably no team whatsoever in all of college football that took more of a hit in the past couple of years than Western Kentucky. I mean, you were talking about a program that, without a shadow of a doubt, was the creme de la creme when it came to offense. I mean, these guys were putting up big games constantly. They were fantasy assets every single week, and then it just completely died. Now, there's some hope this year that Tyson Helton will turn this team around. They just named Stephen Duncan the quarterback one. Ty Story transferred there from Arkansas. So I would say there was a minor amount of surprise that he didn't get it, but I think for the most part, people who were more in the know than me at the time expected him to win. I think that this team wants to go back to the glory days and is going to do whatever it can to get there. That's just bluntly put, flat out. I think that's what they're going to try to get done here. So that's my expectation. I'm hoping for a super, super fun year out of Western Kentucky, because it's been a while. Georgia Southern, best known for producing Matt Braden. Man, was he a fun player to watch for the years he was there. That triple option offense was seriously a fun offense to watch for so, so long. So I'm fully expectant that, you know, if I get a chance to watch it, which I doubt that there'll be one on around here. This is not the same team we used to see. I mean, I'm thinking Matt Breida, L.A. Ramsby, Kevin Ellison running the triple offense. Now J.D. King is deemed eligible. There's just way too many cooks in the kitchen. I think that King probably has the highest talent out of all of them, but it's still kind of a tough situation that I don't want to put too much emphasis on this specific player. Other than that, you know, here's one big thing for sure. Deion Stewart, Arkansas starting wide receiver, tears his ACL. He was expected to kind of be like the senior member of that receiving core. Now they will have no choice but to turn to Treylon Burks and Trey Knox. And I'm confident that those two guys will absolutely be able to get the job done. I think without a shadow of a doubt, the talent there is huge. Now the opportunity there is just as big as well. So I'm very, very much hopeful that we'll see a high-end production out of them. Next up, it was announced that Brandon Wimbush would start. And after Daryl Mack suffered the ankle injury, it was pretty much assumed. And it wasn't just the ankle injury. Daryl Mack was showing some issues with consistency. And unfair or not, this is a team that has certain expectations put on it, right? This team has been the Cinderella story over the last several years, so it would make sense that they want to continue that type of, that type of consistency. Mackenzie Milton has a much different skill set than Brandon Wimbush. I think Wimbush is still fully capable of producing here, so it's not something I'm very much worried about at all. I think that we should see good numbers out of the running backs. I think Gabriel Davis is in line for a big year. Greg McCray really kind of, to me, down the stretch, he was the guy making the statement. I really believe that. I really believe that he was the one who was saying, I'm here and this is my team in terms of the running backs. So I have no reason whatsoever to not believe that it will continue this year. Mississippi State, Tommy Stevens, announced starter. And it's funny, you know, I was a big Nick Fitzgerald mark. Not going to deny it whatsoever. He was one of those guys who I routinely played in daily fantasy college football because they loved letting him run. Just loved it. I think that I was a little bit upset because I, for one, didn't roster Keaton Thompson last year opening week, and he smashed. He had like 70 fantasy points. Like, it was some no-joke production, and it was crippling to not have him. I really, really, really was looking forward to playing him early this season and kind of hoping to get some of the equity that I lost on him back, and that's not going to happen. He's really, you know, been unable to contain his accuracy. And that's a big deal. If you got a guy who's not accurate at the quarterback position, coaches aren't going to give him the chance to play. Tommy Stevens was an interesting gadget guy as quarterback at Penn State with Trace McSorley. They used him in a multitude of positions. So my immediate thought is I believe we could be in a situation where we could see that continued production at the position. I don't think there's going to be a fall off there whatsoever. I'm going to be bullish on Tommy Stevens, especially week one in daily fantasy. I know Kylan Hill is there and just going to make things a little more complicated because I think he is a highly talented running back. And it's, you know, very difficult to turn away from that and look the other way. So now something that's a little bit irritating, and I feel like this happens way freaking more than it has to. But at the end of the day, here we are. It's right in front of us. Oklahoma State, we know this team has consistently produced top-end fantasy quarterbacks for the last 5 or 6 years. They have two guys on the roster, and Spencer Sanders and Drew Brown, that could really both competently run this offense. I fully, totally, and completely believe that. The problem is Mike Gundy is doing everything he can to not announce which one is going to be the starter. Now, most people in the know believe that it's highly likely to be Spencer Sanders based off of just some feelings around in the beat community. But this should be a team that should be able to produce. They've got a very solid group of receivers. Running back situation is very, very good there. I don't see it being a situation where we have to worry too much about Spencer Sanders starting. I think he's going to do it. It will be a shock. It will be a silly season shock if we see Drew Brown. But it could happen. I mean, many expected last year for Drew Brown transferring over from Hawaii to step on campus and unseat Taylor Cornelius, and it didn't happen. And not only did it not happen, but Cornelius had a slam dunk year. He had an awesome year, highly productive in that campaign, won me a ton of money consistently, and was never as owned as he should have been. But that's where that's at. Other important things we're kind of looking at right now. I think for me, there's 2-3 big things I would really take a look at right now. Number one, Texas A&M doing stupid, annoying things like, hey, we're not going to announce actual starters. We're just going to put oars on everything for our first game. I don't see there being a situation where Kellen Mond is not the guy. I'm pretty confident that that's going to be the guy. I don't think there's much to worry about there whatsoever. I think you're safe in terms of using him. Jay Sean Corbin as well. But it definitely has it's really tough trying to figure out the receiving core because you have Jamin Osmond, Courtney Davis, Kendrick Rogers. Those guys were just a very tough read last year. It was very difficult to ever get them right. I can't remember too many times where I was successfully able to peg which one was going to have a big game. So ultimately it didn't leave me in a situation where I was overall highly profitable when using those guys. Another thing is just concern for Joshua Kelly, concern for Michael Warren. I think both of those situations, there's been enough coach speak that makes me feel as if it's not a slam dunk that they're going to produce high-end carry totals. I think that they'll still lead their teams, but I think it's also a very real situation that they could see a diminished workload, and with where their prices are likely to come in daily fantasy specifically, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow if they're priced amongst the top two or three running backs. Now, in saying that, we also have to remember that, how do I want to word this? It's not so much their price. It is more so who else is on the slate. Like if Michael Warren or Joshua Kelly was on a slate like this one coming up this weekend, say Arizona wasn't on, but UCLA was on playing Hawaii, I don't think we'd be having this conversation kind of casting aspersions at the UCLA running back situation and saying, well, be careful with Joshua Kelly because we don't know how much he's going to play. We'd be like, slam that dude in your lineups right now. Do not blink. Get him in there as soon as you possibly can. I really believe that that is a situation we would be partaking in. So I don't want to get too excited right away. I think it's just something to monitor. Perhaps the biggest thing is the hot, you know, well, one of the bigger things is Master Teague no longer in the top three. He has fallen out of the depth chart at Ohio State. This is someone who I was actually looking at considering playing week one, just as kind of a pivot play for a multitude of lineups where I needed some salary relief. Now we may be getting some additional salary relief, and I got to check because I could be speaking out of turn and he could actually be more expensive. But now, you know, DeMario McCall is operating at the two, Marcus Crowley at the three. They're taking on a Florida Atlantic team who there's no way you can understate the fact that they're going to be going through a shift in identity because they're losing Devin Singletary and Kerwith White, which are two top-end running backs. And not only that, but they're facing competition that they don't normally have to run into. So I really do believe that's a huge cause for concern situation for me. It's something that does make me a bit nervous for J.K. Dobbins, just because I don't know how long that he's going to be able to play. And but it does make me bullish on trying to take some shots, because you could certainly wind up in a situation where pricing is soft enough week one on the main slate. They do it because they obviously know that that's when the most common fantasy player is going to be playing daily fantasy college football. Like they know that the average fan is not going to be playing on Thursday night. They're smart enough to know when their audience is going to be playing. So if you get a guy who's, you know, 3K or something like that, that suddenly has the potential for an increased workload, it opens up your lineup building possibilities so much. I mean, it's really ridiculous how much it opens it up. So definitely something I'm trying to keep an eye on. We'll see how and if things change moving towards a regular season, but there does appear to be some value in the changes in Ohio State. Now something I want to talk about real quick is that running back Oza Martin, former Miami and Auburn transfer, has landed in what could be the best landing spot for a running back in 2019, and that's with the Memphis Tigers. Now, we are certainly saying that because we've seen now a history where Daryl Henderson has produced. I was actually just watching the game last year, the AAC championship game between Memphis and UCF, and it was incredible for me to see how how seamlessly that Memphis running attack just absolutely carved up UCF. And look, it's no secret that UCF was not a good defense at all. So it's not like in the overly impressive realms of things that could have happened. But it's still, I mean, Daryl Henderson, they ran off like 460-yard runs combined. It was absolutely ridiculous. So it's a great situation to walk into for sure. No questions asked on my part. I think that's going to be a slam dunk. As we know, Patrick Taylor is going to move on after the year. And it now they can feel a little more secure about their running back situation moving into 2020. So, and I just checked on the prices. Master Teague was $4,500, which would have been a very, very, very good value price. Now we get DeMario McCall at $3,400, and we get Marcus Crowley at $3,000, the Stone minimum. So definitely some huge, huge values there that we have potentially to our advantage that we will want to take care of, that we will want to consider playing in our lineups to really open things up for more studs moving forward. But I'm excited. This weekend should be a blast. It's a good transition. More than anything else, I'm excited and I'm happy to say that, you know, college football is back, guys and gals. At the end of the day, we can all sit here, we can all get excited, we can all look forward to the fact that in just a day, we'll be able to turn on the tube and watch what should be two really good games, get the college football juices flowing, and then we're back next week. 100%, 5 episodes a week. We'll be talking what we saw over the weekend with those two schools, with those four schools and those two games. We'll be talking about what has happened in the depth chart world, because that's going to be a huge, huge part of the next week, as teams are going to be dropping depth charts and we're going to see how it comes alive and how these teams really look like they're going to formulate in 2019. So thanks for joining me. Check this out online at studentbodyright.com, on Twitter and Facebook at studentbodyright, and you can find me on Twitter at Nick from CWE. We'll see you next week.